بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. This evening, بإذن الله تعالى, this is our 19th session dealing with the topic of al-iman or faith in Allah سبحانه وتعالى. As we have been reading from A'lam al-Sunnah al-Manshura li'i'tiqad al-Ta'ifa al-Najiyah al-Mansura al-Allama Hafiz ibn Ahmed ibn Ali al-Hakami rahimahullah. The question that we want to discuss this evening is question number 73, and it's the last question dealing with this topic of Iman Billahi, and it's the last topic that we will deal with in this course. Bismillah ta'ala, next week we intend to have a gathering, a dinner for the brothers and sisters. Everyone is welcome, those who attended and those who didn't attend, those who attended regularly and otherwise. Everyone is welcome, and we are asking that everybody who is able to bring something to participate in feeding one another. If there are any brothers or any sisters who would like to make a special contribution, yani to prepare something special, particular, or to donate something, then inshallah, the brothers, you can see Abdulaziz, and the sisters can see one of the sisters. Again, as I said, tonight, we want to deal with the last question in this section, question number 73. And before we do that, as we customarily do, we'd like to review quickly the questions in the study guide from last week, from lecture number 18. And again, whoever has attended last week and who have any reviewed those questions and written some answers, then we encourage you to participate, everyone. Question number 72 from last week, the question was, مَا دِدُّ تَوْهِيد الْأَسْمَاءِ وَالصِّفَاتِ. What is the opposite of تَوْهِيد الْأَسْمَاءِ وَالصِّفَاتِ? The Tawheed concerning the names and characteristics of Allah. What is the opposite of تَوْهِيد الْأَسْمَاءِ وَالصِّفَاتِ? نَعَمْ يَا أَحْمَد. الْإِلْحَاد. Al-Ilhad, naam. Al-Ilhad fi, and what?
Fi
Asma'i wa Sifat. The Shaykh, he said, Al-Ilhad fi Asma'i Allahi wa Sifatihi wa Ayati. Wa Ayati. Even though he didn't talk about the Ilhad and the Ayat, Hafiz al-Hakimi, he didn't talk about it, but that was part of the definition as he gave it. That the opposite of Tawheed al-Asma'i wa Sifat is Al-Ilhad, deviation concerning the Asma of Allah and the Sifat of Allah and the Ayat of Allah. Naam. And we'll come back, yani, to the rest of his definition as we go through the questions. The second question, yani, the three types or divisions that he mentioned of Ilhad. What is the definition of Ilhad linguistically and in the Sharia? Naam. What is the definition of Ilhad linguistically and in the Sharia? Al-mail, turning away, deviating.
To turn away or to deviate from what you're supposed to act upon, the straight path.
Naam. Anybody want to add to that anything?
Oh, what to believe.
And what to believe, very importantly. Now, now. What is obligatory upon you to believe, yani, al-mail, عن ما يجب اعتقاده عمله. That which is obligatory for you to believe in. And what is obligatory for you to act upon. Turning away from that, deviating from that, abandoning that. Naam. Shaykh Imam Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, he said the linguistic meaning of al-ilhad is al-mail. And he's turning away, deviating, abandoning. In Lisan al-Arab, it was mentioned that
al-had, it is al-mail an al-qast. Deviating from al-qast. And al-qast means al-niyyah or al-hadaf. And the intention, what you intended. What was your objective or your goal? Turning away from that. Now, and some of the scholars said, it is turning away from al-haq. Or turning away from al-istiqama. Uprightness. As far as the technical definition, it is as he said. Turning away from that which is obligatory to believe in. Yani the obligatory belief, as Allah has revealed it to us, as He has commanded us to believe in the Quran and in the Sunnah, as was understood by the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, radiallahu anhu ajma'in, and those who came after them following in their way. The way that it is obligatory for us to believe, not as the people believe today. The beliefs of the people today who identify themselves as Muslims is far away from that which is obligatory to believe in. And their actions, their behavior, their worship is far away from what is obligatory upon us to act upon. Allahu musta'an. Now, after this, we said, what are the three types of ilhad mentioned by the author, rahimahullah, that is Hafiz al-Hakami, related to asma wa sifat of Allah? Yani, what are the three types of ilhad that Hafiz al-Hakami, rahimahullah, mentioned? Three types. Give me one of them. Now, Musa. Ilhad of the Mushrikeen. That's the first one that he mentioned. Ilhad of the Mushrikeen. What is Ilhad of the Mushrikeen? What is it? What did they do? Naam.
They distort the names of Allah and they give similar names to the idols.
Naam. They distorted the names of Allah. They took them away from what they were originally upon. And then they named the idols with them. After adding to them or taking away from them, they extracted names from the names of Allah and named the idols with those names. In an attempt to raise the idols to be on a level like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Naam. Second type of ilhad. Naam. Those who liken Allah al-Mushabbiha. Those who liken the ilhad of the Mushabbiha. Those who liken the characteristics of Allah to the characteristics of His created beings. Naam. They compare, they make comparison between the sifat of Allah, the divine sifat of Allah that are perfect, sublime. They compare them to the characteristics of created beings. The Shaykh said that this type of ilhad is muqabil, the first one. Yani it is the opposite of it. The first, the mushrikeen, what they did, they tried to raise the idols up to the level of Allah. And these people, the mushabbiha, they tried to bring Allah down to the level of the created beings. Naam. And third type of ilhad that the author mentioned. Naam, Sadiq. Naam. To negate Allah's names and His attributes. To negate them. Yani the ilhad of the Nufat, or the Mu'attila. And he said that they are of two divisions. One of them, somebody tell me, one of them? Huh? Okay, Mu'tazila. But I mean, what did they do? The Mu'tazila, Jahmiyyah, what did these people do? One group of them did something, other group went further. Okay, one group, he said, they affirmed Al-Fab Asma'ihi, yani the wordings of Allah's names, they affirmed them. But they negated from Him that which they contain, مَا تَضَمَّنَتْهُ يعني مِن صِفَاتِ الْكَمَالِ. They negated that which those names contain, indicate, point to, of the perfect qualities of Allah, the characteristics of Allah. They negated that. They affirmed the wordings of the names. They said, yeah, Allah's name is Al-Alim, Al-Hakim, Al-Qadir, Al-Sami, Al-Basir. But they negated that He is Al-Hakim, but without Hikmah. He is Sami', but without Sam', without hearing. He is Basir, without Basr, without seeing. He is Qadir, without Qudra. So they affirmed the names, the wordings of the names, but they emptied them of any meaning. Now, and the other group of them, he said, they were worse. They what? They negated both the name, the wordings, the names themselves, and the meaning that they contain, the sifat that they contain. They negated all of it, bil kulliyah, completely. that he said they described Allah in this way. They described Allah as being non-existent. Yani, a being that doesn't have a name and doesn't have a sifa. That's non-existence. Everything in existence has some kind of description you can describe it with. Naam. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah is free from that which they attribute to Him, and Most High, far removed from it. Naam. After this, we said, what are the other two types of ilhad mentioned by Al-Allama Ibn Qayyim, rahimahullah? The other two types of ilhad. Yani, Hafiz Hakami, rahimahullah, he mentioned three types of ilhad, three. And Al-Allama Ibn Qayyim, rahimahullah, in his discussion concerning this topic, he mentioned five types. So he mentioned those three, and in addition to them, he mentioned two other types. Give me one of them. Naam, Duhaleem. Naming Allah with that which He has not named Himself with. Naming Allah with that which is not befitting of His majesty and His glory. And unbecoming of Him. Like, for example, what's most common and well known to all of us, probably, is the, huh? Yes, the ilhad of the Nasara. They named Allah Ab, Father. This is unbecoming of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Naam. And others, he said. Now, and the other one now, the ilhad of the Yahud, and not only the Yahud, but especially the Yahud. Now, describing Allah with characteristics of imperfection, sifat and naqs and naqais. They described Allah with characteristics of imperfection. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like, for example, Allah's hands are tied. Meaning by that, they mean by that, A'udhu billah. Allah is not spending. He's not giving. He's not charitable. He's not al-kareem. He's not al-jawwad. He's not al-wahhab. Now, what else did they say? That Allah is poor. Now, Faqir, now. So he took a rest after he created the creation. May Allah forgive us and pardon us. Some of us, we used to believe that. We used to believe that. But just think, yani rationally, Allah, Rabbul Alameen, Al-Qadir, Al-Azim, He created something and then He had to take a rest. A'udhu Billah. Now, so he mentioned these two types, the ilhad of the Nasara, and those who may follow in their way, that is, naming Allah with that which is unbecoming of His majesty and His greatness and His glory. And the ilhad of the Yahud, describing Allah with that which is unbecoming of Him, with characteristics of imperfection. And after this, we mentioned from the explanation of Imam Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, what is intended by the expression al-ilhad concerning the ayat of Allah, al-ayat al-shara'iyya. How has the Shaykh explained this? He said that the ilhad, as we mentioned in the answer of Hafiz al-Hakami, he said that the opposite of Tawhid al-Asma wa Sifat is ilhad. في أسماء الله وصفاته وآياته. But he didn't discuss آياته. Shaykh Uthaymeen, رحمه الله, he said that the ilhad in the ayat of Allah is of two types. آيات الشرعية, يعني القرآنية, and آيات الكونية. So what did he mean? What did he explain? What is the meaning of the ilhad? Or what is the meaning of the آيات الشرعية and what is the ilhad in it? الآيات الشرعية. نعم. صالح. نعم. يا رحمك الله. The legislation of Allah that the prophets and the messengers brought to the people. That which Allah revealed. الوحي. النازل على الأنبياء. That Allah sent down upon the prophets. The revelation that the prophets came with to the people. This is آيات الشرعية القرآنية. نعم. And the إلحاد in it is To go against it, to deny it, or to alter the meaning of it. At-tahrif, changing the meaning of the ayat, changing the meanings. Or changing the actual text, the wordings. Changing the ayat, altering the ayat. And takdeeb, denying them. Denying the ayat of Allah. And also to go against them, mukhalifa, to oppose them, yani, to act in disobedience to the commands of Allah, what He has commanded and prohibited. Now, this is the ilhad, the ayat al-shara'iyya. To distort the ayat that Allah has revealed through His prophets and messengers, or to deny them, or to act contrary to them. We are not of those who distort them. And we are not of those who deny them. But we have to be careful that we don't be of those who are in disobedience to Allah, act contrary to them. This is a great danger. And this is ilhad. Naam. And the ayat al-shara'iyya. As far as the ayat al-qawniyya, what do we mean by ayat al-qawniyya? And what is the ilhad in it? Naam. Abdul Wakil. The creation. And the signs of creation. The ayat al-qawniyya means al-makhluqat. The things that Allah created. Everything that Allah created and what Allah continues to create. Naam. Now, believing that someone or something assisted Allah, or shares with Allah, or independent of Allah, is responsible for something in the creation. And denying that Allah is alone, by Himself, in bringing about the creation, and controlling it. And inkar, the person who denies infirad, infiradillah, that Allah is alone, single, by Himself, in this creation that He has created. Denying this. Rather, attributing something of the creation to someone or something other than Allah. Or that they shared in it, or that they helped Him in it. All of this is ilhad. And the ayat, al-qawniyya. Yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-khaliq alone. There's no creator along with Him who shares in it in any way, or participates, or helps, or supports in any way whatsoever. Allah is without need of this. This is what we discussed last week, or at least a summary of some of the points. Tonight, we have one question remaining, and it's relatively brief. So I thought it was an opportunity for us, since it's our last session on this topic, before we go into a new topic, which inshallah will be an equally beneficial. Will be equally beneficial, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Before we go on, we thought that it would be good that we review some of the main points that we covered during the last few months. And I sent, with the study guide, a group of questions. I think there were 2, 4, 6, 8 questions. In addition to the question from the book tonight, 8 questions that we covered previously from the beginning. And whoever was here 4 or 5 months ago when we started, you may remember that what we started with was, what is Iman? And what is Iman in Allah? And then the divisions of Tawheed. What is Tawheed? Al-Ilahiyya. And its opposite. And Tawheed al-Rububiyya. And its opposite. And then we came to Tawheed al-Asma wa-Sifat. And we didn't reach its opposite until some months. Because most of this time was spent dealing with Tawheed al-Asma wa-Sifat. So probably, the other matters that we discussed was a long time ago. We may have forgotten by now. But inshallah, I sent the questions out so that at least you have a chance to look at them and review. And perhaps this will be a good review for those who are not present. And it will be beneficial for us all, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. So, we should get a lot of help here tonight. First question, what is Iman? What is Iman? According to Hafiz al-Hakami, rahimahullah. What is Iman? Now, speech and action. That is the summary definition of Iman. And then he gave details. Details. Now, speech and action of the heart. Okay. Action of the limbs. Of the tongue, speech of the tongue. No, we just want the just general idea. Okay, anybody else want to share? No. Okay, increase and decrease with obedience and disobedience. Now, and the levels of the people of Iman vary. They are not all the same. And as the Shaykh said, he said it is speech and it is action. And then he explained each of them separately. He said speech, meaning speech of the heart and speech of the tongue. And action, meaning action of the heart, action of the tongue, and action of the limbs of the body. And then he said that it increases. Iman increases with acts of obedience, and it decreases with acts of disobedience, and that the people of Iman, يَتَفَاضَلُ فِيهِ. And the people of Iman are not equal. They are not all on the same level. Rather, they are on different levels. Now, that's a fact. And then the Shaykh, he went into the explanation of all of this and the proofs and evidences for it. Now. Removing something from the path is the level of Iman. Now. And from the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, that he said that Iman is 60-something or 70-something in two different narration branches. And the highest of them is saying La ilaha illallah, and removing something from the road is also a branch of Iman. And Al-Haya, yani modesty, is a part of Iman. So, this is what the Shaykh said concerning Iman. That is the meaning of Iman, speech and action with its details. And then he explained each of them. And for the sake of time, and we can go back and review it, whoever wants to review it. After this, we said, what is the meaning of Iman Billahi, faith in Allah the Mighty, the Majestic? What is the meaning of Iman, having faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Now, what is the meaning of Iman in Allah? Naam, ya Ibrahim. Belief in Allah's that, His divine being, aywa. Believing that Allah is alone. And some of His characteristics, Al-Ahad, Al-Samad, Al-Hayy, Al-Qayyum, Na'am. First and the last, the uppermost, the nearest, Na'am, Akhi. Na'am. But right now we're saying, what is the meaning of having Iman in Allah? What is the meaning of it? The Shaykh, what he said in the answer, really we are looking for the answer, because some of the scholars explained it a little bit differently, that's true. But we're looking for what we studied in the class, what Hafiz Hakimi said, or the scholars that we have mentioned that give similar explanations like this. Now, Musa. To negate that nothing is worthy of worship. Okay, we'll come to that part. Naam. التصديق الجازم. This is the language of Hafiz Hakimi. Now, التصديق الجازم. يعني have a firm, resolute, definitive, certain, يعني belief in what? In the existence, بوجود ذاته تعالى. This is the first thing that the Shaykh mentioned. The existence of Allah's divine being. And then he described Allah with some of those characteristics that he mentioned. The first and the last and the uppermost and so on. And Hayyul Qayyum, Ahad al-Samad. And then he said, that is one point. The existence, the belief, firm belief in the existence of Allah's divine being. And then he mentioned three other things. Tawheed. Tawheed. The Tawheed of Allah in reference to His Ilahiyya, His Rububiyya, and His Asma wa Sifat. This is the definition that he gave. And Shaykh al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, also in explanation of Aqeedah Wasatiyya, he said that Iman in Allah consists of four components. And the first of them, he said, believing the existence of Allah's divine being. And the second of them, the Tawheed of Allah, in reference to His Uluhiyya, and His Rububiyya, and His Asma wa Sifat. So really, the answer they gave is the same here. Okay, that Iman in Allah is composed of four matters. Number one, first, believing in the existence Allah's divine being. And inshallah we may come back to this discussion tonight. And then after that, the different aspects of Tawheed. The acknowledging, singling out Allah alone for His Rububiyyah and His Uluhiyyah, or as the Shaykh said in the book, Ilahiyyah, which means the same thing, and His Asma wa Sifat. This is what he said is the meaning of Iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After this we said, okay, so after mentioning these things, the firm conviction, at-tasdiq al-jazm, min samim al-qalb, bi-wujud dhati, what is Tawheed al-ilahiyya? Yani, what is the meaning of Tawheed al-ilahiyya? What is intended by this? Tawheed al-ilahiyya. Keeping in mind that Tawheed ilahiyya is the same thing as what some scholars called Tawheed al-uluhiyya. It's the same. And some scholars called it Tawheed al-ubudiyya. It is the same. And some scholars said Tawheed al-ibadah. All of it is the same. This refers to the same thing. Tawheed al-ibadah. Now, what is Tawheed ilahiyya? A little bit more, add to it, somebody. Naam. Naam, but from his answer that he's giving now, exactly from the Shaykh, he said that it's singling out Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for every type of worship, inwardly and outwardly. Inwardly, the actions that take place within the heart. And outwardly, the actions that are seen, that are visible from the limbs of the body. Inwardly and outwardly, and as he said, whether in speech or in action. And then he added to that, very importantly, and negating worship from anything or anyone besides Allah. Now, singing out Allah alone for every type of worship. And then negating every type of worship from anyone or anything other than Allah. After this, what is Tawheed? Or what is the opposite of Tawheed al-Ilahiyya? The opposite of Tawheed al-Ilahiyya, al-Ubudiyya. Now, Shirk. Naam, which is two types. One of them, Asghar and Akbar. And what did he say, Hafiz Hakami, rahimahullah, about these two types? How did he distinguish between them? How did he distinguish between them? Briefly. Naam.
One could be have the same name, called Shirk, but it doesn't. It can come in an ayah that.
Meaning something may be referred to as shirk.
It doesn't give the same meaning as shirk akbar.
Okay, but it doesn't have the same effect as shirk akbar. Okay, that's not exactly what the Shaykh said, but what he said means that. Yes, that's not exactly what he said, but that's the substance of it. But actually he said, now.
I think he used it like the result of the shirk.
Now.
The action puts you outside of itself, but
shirk akbar.
Now,
he said that the shirk akbar yunafi at-tawheed bil-kulliyya. It negates the tawheed completely. I mean, takes a person out of Islam. They're no longer a Muslim. They're not a Muslim. And the shirk asghar, he said, yunafi kamalahu. It negates the perfection of the tawheed. But it doesn't take a person out of Islam. And this is extremely important, yani, distinction. Because sometimes we use the word shirk in one sense only. But shirk, when it came in the Quran and in the Sunnah, sometimes it refers to shirk akbar. The person who engages in it goes out of Islam and negates the tawheed, negates the iman completely. They are no longer Muslim. And sometimes when shirk is mentioned, it's really in reference to shirk asghar, which does not take a person out of Islam. The matter is severe, no doubt. But it negates the perfection of Tawheed. But it doesn't take a person out of Islam. And there's a tremendous difference between the two. And both of them we should fear any kind of shirk. May Allah protect us from all of it. After this, we came to the question, what is Tawheed al-Rububiyyah? What is Tawheed al-Rububiyyah? What is Tawheed al-Rububiyyah? Naam. Huh? Okay. To acknowledge, to confess, to affirm, to believe that Allah is the Rabb. Al-Alameen. Rabb kulli shayin. He is the Rabb of everything. And? Al-Mudabbir Al-Khaliq, the creator. Malik. That he is the creator of, he is the Rabb of everything, and he is the creator of everything, and he is the owner of everything, and the one who controls all the affairs of everything in existence. And he has no partner in any of this, in any of it. And this includes, yani, everything that also may come under these main titles of khalq, creation, and mulk, sovereignty or possession or ownership, and tadbir, being in control of everything in the creation, and everything that comes under them. Naam. After this, what is the opposite of tawheed? Ar-rububiyyah. What is the opposite of tawheed? Ar-rububiyyah. Naam. Opposite. Is believing, i'tiqad, mutasarrifin, ma'a Allah, huh? Na'am. That something or someone along with Allah has powers of disposal. And he has some control over deciding what happens and what will happen in the affairs of the control of the universe. Believing that there's someone or something along with Allah that has some control over some of these things. When in fact, there's absolutely no one and nothing that has any control over what takes place in this universe besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And for this reason, I remember once reading, I wish I could find it, but I haven't found it for some time now, with Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen. He said, since Allah is the one who controls everything, there is no one who can give that which Allah withholds. And there is no one who can withhold that which Allah gives. Allahumma la mani'a lima a'tayt, wa la mu'tiya lima mana'at. If this is a fact, and we believe this, it is a fact, then he said, why do you get upset with someone who withholds something from you? Even if it is your right, so what? They will answer to Allah. But why get upset with them? They are not in control. Rather, Allah is in control. Nobody can withhold that which Allah gives. And nobody can give that which Allah withholds. If Allah intends it for you, nobody can stop it. Don't get mad with that guy. Leave him to Allah. If that is your right, he will be called to account. And you will be compensated, for sure, guaranteed. But don't get upset with him. Accept Allah's decree, who has decided that this is for you or it's not for you. That's a fact. Whoever can understand that, subhanAllah, if you can understand that, it makes life different for you in this world. Because we believe it, for sure. But sometimes do we think about it when somebody withholds from us? Well, we don't think about it when they give us what we want, right? We're pleased with that. Naam. So that this is the tawheed, the opposite of tawheed, ar-rububiyyah, is that believing that someone has some control of the affairs of the universe. Whatever it is, whether it's any bringing things into existence or taking it out or giving life or death or any withholding some, giving some good or withholding some harm and so on, whatever. All of this comes under this issue. After this, we said, what is Tawheed al-Asma wa Sifat? Yani the Tawheed related to the names of Allah and His Sifat. What is the meaning of Tawheed al-Asma wa Sifat? What does this entail according to Al-Allama Hafiz Hakami, Al-Hakami, Rahimahullah. What did he say is the meaning of Tawheed al-Asma wa Sifat? Huh? Faith? Uh-huh. Naam. Having iman, faith in whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has described himself with in his book, in the Qur'an, and what his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has described him with in the authentic sunnah, from al-asma al-husna wa sifat al-ula, from the beautiful and perfect names of Allah and his lofty descriptions, along with accepting them just as they are, without explaining how. Yani without takyif. And we will say further, without tahrif, and without ta'atil, or tamthil, or tashbih. And these, all of these things are from the ilhad, in the names of Allah. Yani distorting the meanings of the names of the sifat, or giving them some explanation or interpretation that is from the human mind. The how of it, the reality of it that's known only to Allah, or making comparisons or examples or emptying the meaning, negating or denying the meaning and so on. All of this. Yani without doing these, but accepting the names that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has named Himself with in the Quran, and that which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has named Him with or described Him with in the Sunnah, without giving any interpretation or distortion or negation or comparison to those names. And finally, the last question that we have here was from last week. And we just got finished talking about it, so everybody should be able to answer this question. What is the opposite of Tawheed al-Asma' al-Sifat? What is the opposite of Tawheed al-Asma' al-Sifat? We just had that last week, and we talked about it in the beginning of this session. Now,
Al-Ilhad. Distorting, turning away, or giving comparison.
Distorting or turning away, from?
From the Asma'
and Sifat, and the Ayat of Allah, as they are in reality. And distorting them or turning away from them. And the Shaykh, we discussed already, no need to repeat, but Hafiz al-Hakami, rahimahullah, he said there are three types, the ilhad of the mushrikeen, and the ilhad of the mushabbiha, those who make comparisons between the sifat of Allah and the sifat of the created beings, and the ilhad of the mu'attila, or the nufat, those who negate or deny the sifat of Allah, or his asma and his sifat. This is what we covered in these last few months. And certainly the Shaykh, he has given, rahimahullah, a lot of secondary issues and subsidiary matters that are of great importance, especially in the area of Tawheed al-Asma wa Sifat, which we hope, inshallah, will be of benefit to each of us in knowing Allah better and in having a greater respect for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and recognizing His majesty and His magnificence, enabling us to be nearer to Him and to humble ourselves before Him, to be more obedient to Him. Tonight, the question, last question in this section, question that we want to take tonight is question number 73, where the Imam Hafiz al-Hakami, rahimahullah, says, هَلْ جَمِيعَ أَنْوَاعِ التَّوْهِيدِ مُتَلَازِمَةً فينافيها كلها ما ينافي نوعا منها. Are all of the divisions of Tawheed mutalazima, yani inseparable from one another? And we just got finished reviewing, right, the different divisions of Tawheed, al-uluhiyya, al-rububiyya, al-asma, al-sifat. So the Shaykh is saying here, are all the divisions of Tawheed mutalazima, yani inseparable, such that whatever nullifies one division nullifies them all? Explain with the example given by the author, rahimahullah. Yani, meaning, when we say that Tawheed is divided into three categories, as many of the scholars have explained it, and some have explained it slightly different, but with the same meaning. If we say that there are three categories of Tawheed, are they separate entities? Completely separate and distinct from one another? Or are they mutalazima, inseparable? You can't separate them. Meaning that, does how you fulfill one of them affect the others? Or can you do good in one and neglect another? That's really what he's saying. And can somebody, for example, acknowledge completely and fully that Allah is Rabbul Alameen, with everything that includes of Rububiyyah, that we just get finished talking about, and more than that? Can a person acknowledge that and be okay, even though he doesn't, for example, yani, he doesn't acknowledge the tawheed of uluhiyya, of ubudiyya, of ibadah? Is that okay?
No.
Or the fact that he fails to fulfill the obligations of tawheed, uluhiyya, does it then negate the tawheed of ubudiyya that he has acknowledged completely and fully? That's really what he's saying. Are they inseparable? Or they're separate. Just do good in one and don't worry about the other. They're inseparable. Naam, they're inseparable. Okay? And the point here is that if they are inseparable, that means that it's not good enough for you to do good in math and don't do so good in science. You know, in school, like, you're good in math but you're not good in science, it's okay, I did real good in math, so I'll make up for it, you know, but I fall short in science. Or I go to this class and I don't go to the other one. Or I fulfill some duties to my wife, or to, I need a wife to her husband, but I fall short in the others. Like, maybe on a certain level, some of this is okay. You might do good in one subject and not another. You might be excellent with your spouse in some areas and not as good in others. Is that permissible in the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That's really what we're talking about. Or is it a must that you must excel in every aspect of tawheed? All of it is the right of Allah, absolutely. And all of it must be acknowledged, recognized, and every right of each aspect of tawheed must be fulfilled. That's really what we're talking about. The Shaykh, he says, and it's not a lengthy answer, but he is a good point that we end this subject with. Are all of the divisions of tawheed mutalazima, such that whatever nullifies, negates one division, nullifies them all? He says, Naam, hiya mutalazima. Yes, they are mutalazima, they're inseparable. فَمَنْ أَشْرَقَ فِي نَوْءٍ مِنْهَا. So whoever commits shirk in one type or one division of the types of tawheed or the divisions of tawheed, فَهُوَ مُشْرِكٌ فِي الْبَقِيَّةِ. Then he became a mushrik in all the rest of them. If he made shirk in one aspect of tawheed, he became a mushrik in all of it. He's a mushrik, khalas. When you say he's only a mushrik in this part, he's a mushrik. Pure mushrik, all the way. وَمِثَالُ ذَلِكَ. And an example of this. دُعَاءُ غَيْرُ اللَّهِ وَسُؤَالُهُ مَا لَا يَقْدِرُ عَلَيْهِ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. يعني supplicating other than Allah. Something or someone other than Allah. And asking that one for what? For that which no one has the ability to give. Except Allah. That's different, right? Than asking somebody to help me carry my bag down to the car. Somebody might be able to do that. Not everybody can carry that bag, but some people may be able to do it, right? That's different. We're talking about asking a created being for something that only Allah has the ability to do. That means that you're asking someone who's dead in the grave for something. They don't have the ability to do anything. Or you're asking somebody who's in another town, or another city, or another country to help you carry your bags. They don't have the ability to do that. You're asking someone for something that no one has control over. More clearly, like you're asking them to help you to have children. Because you or your wife, you have some kind of problem. So you're asking somebody, something in the creation to help you to have children? Nobody has control over that except Allah. He's the only tabib. And that's from the names of Allah, Tabib. And the rest of these people, no disrespect, but they are not a Tabib. Because, you know, it's a good profession to be a doctor. As long as you keep yourself in your place and remember that Allah is a Tabib. And everybody else is just utilizing some of the means that Allah has set in motion. They just came to know about how Allah has set certain things in motion. So they utilize that to help a person by the permission of Allah. But none of that can work unless Allah decrees for it to work. Even if it works 100,000 times, everybody that you try it on the next one, it's not going to work if Allah doesn't allow it to. That's a fact. And some doctors will tell you, this works for many people, but we can't guarantee it. He might say that for other reasons, but if he's a Muslim, he may say it because he knows that Allah is the one who controls everything. Other people, they might say it for other reasons, just to cover themselves in case it doesn't work, because they know they don't got no control. So they say it might not work. It works most of the time, but it doesn't work every time. Now, asking, supplicating to other than Allah, asking them for that which only Allah has power over. فَدُعَاهُ إِيَّاهُ إِبَادَةٌ بَلْ مُخَ الْإِبَادَةِ. So supplicating, asking this person, asking someone or something for this thing, asking them for it, it is worship, it is ibadah. Rather, it is the essence of ibadah. And the Shaykh, he used the word here, mukh al-ibadah. And this came in a hadith, al-du'a mukh al-ibadah. But that hadith, du'a mukh al-ibadah, with that wording is not authentic. But the meaning of it came in another hadith, al-du'a huwa al-ibadah. Al-du'a huwa al-ibadah. The du'a, it is worship. It is the essence of worship. Naam. In the same way that al-hajj arafah. Al-hajj arafah. That the hajj is standing in arafah. Although there's more to Hajj, right? But the most important thing in Hajj is Arafah. So the most important aspect of worship is dua. How can it be given to other than Allah? How can we ask other than Allah for that which He only has the ability to do, to give? So this is worship. This is worship. Yani asking someone other than Allah for that which only Allah has the ability to give. وَصَرْفُهَا لِغَيْرِ اللَّهِ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ فَهَذَا شِرْكٌ فِي الْإِلَهِيَةِ. So offering this type of worship, yani dua, to other than Allah, to someone other than Allah, exclusive of Allah, then this is shirk in al-ilahiyah, in ubudiyah. This is shirk in worship. So the person, and this is a common practice in the Muslim world today. Now, the people are supplicating to other than Allah. To saints, to holy people, to graves, to whatever. Trees, naam, even. I myself saw in India, Muslims and Christians and Hindus at a site that they went to by buses, busloads of people. Where it was a tree, and they were all worshipping together. They were all going there to ask for something. The Muslims, as well as the Hindus and the Christians. Now, that's in this time now. We're not talking about 1,000 years ago. We're talking about today. So this is shirk in ilahiyah. Okay, so this is shirk in one aspect of tawheed. How does it affect the others? The Shaykh says, وَسُؤَالُهُ إِيَّاهُ تِلْكَ الْحَاجَةِ مِنْ جَلْبِ خَيْرٍ أَوْ دَفَعِ شَرٍ مُعَتَقِدًا أَنُّهُ قَادِرٌ عَلَى قَضَاءِ ذَلِكَ هَذَا شِرْكُ الرُّبُوبِيَّةِ. So asking this one for this particular need, whether it is to bring to you some good or to repulse from you some evil, believing, مُعَتَقِدًا, having in your mind, your aqidah, believing that this one is qadir, is able to fulfill your need. The need is what? Something that only Allah has the ability to do. So you asking this person, believing, having the i'tiqad that this person is able to do it, he said, this is shirk in rububiyyah. This is shirk in rububiyyah. Because Allah is the Rabb of everything. And He is not only the Rabb, He's the Khalik. We just got finished saying. He's the Malik. The Malik. He is the Mudabbir, He is the Mutasarrif, who controls everything in the universe. And believing that there is a Mutasarrif ma'Allah, somebody else who can control something in anything whatsoever in the universe. This is shirk in rububiyyah. So the fact that the person asks, calls on someone for something that only Allah can do, that's shirk in ubudiyyah, in uluhiyyah, ilahiyyah. But believing, asking that one for that, believing that they are able to do it, when Allah is the only one who has control over it, then this is shirk and rububiyyah. This is shirk and rububiyyah. And this is because, اَعْتَقَدَ أَنَّهُ مُتَصَرِّفْ مَا اللَّهُ فِي مَلُقُوتِهِ. Because this person has believed that there is someone who has control along with Allah in the sovereignty, in the kingdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ثم إنه لم يدعو هذا الدعاء من دون الله إلا مع اعتقاده أنه يسمعه على البعد والقرب في أي وقت كان وفي أي مكان ويصرحون بذلك وهو الشرك في الأسماء والصفات. After this he said, then the person, he didn't call on someone with this dua instead of Allah, yani other than Allah, except that he believes that this one is going to hear him.
على البعد والقرب, whether he's far away or near. He calls on him believing that he's going to hear him. في أي وقت, at any time that it might be, في أي مكان, wherever he may be. And some of them say this clearly. And if they say, they call on Abdul Qadir al-Jilani. Or they call on, what's the one in Cairo? They have a big grave there. One of those big masjids, right by Azhar. Famous saint, I forgot their names now, it's been a long time. Huh? Maybe, they have Hussein, they said there, they claim. There's some other people claim they have his head somewhere else too. And in Tanta they have another one. I've been there myself, I saw this. Anyway, they call on these people. They don't care if they're far or near. They don't only call on them when they're at their grave. They even call on them there in their own country. If they're out at sea, wherever they are, they may call on them. Believing that they will hear them, wherever they are, at any time, in any place. And this, the Shaykh says, whoever believes this, this is shirk in asma wa sifat. Because this is attributing to that one characteristic that belongs to Allah alone. Allah is the only one who can hear every call, whether it is loud or low, whether it is far or near. To attribute that characteristic to other than Allah, this is shirk in Tawheed al-Asma wa Sifat. And this is because this person has confirmed hearing. يعني حيث أثبت له سمعا محيطا بجميع المسموعات. Because he has confirmed for this one that he is calling upon that he has hearing that encompasses everything that can be heard. لا يحجبه قرب ولا بعد. And no matter if he is near or far, it doesn't prevent him from hearing. فاستلزم هذا الشرك في الإلهية الشرك في الربوبية والأسماء والصفات. And in this way, this shirk that the person committed in إلهية, of making dua, calling on someone other than Allah, asking for that which only Allah has the ability to give, this shirk necessitates the person falling into the other types of shirk in Rububiyya and Asma wa Sifat. And this is a good explanation that the Shaykh has given here, making us to understand the importance of all the aspects of Tawheed and how they relate to one another, and how a person has to be careful in every area of Tawheed to avoid shirk in any aspect of Tawheed. Now, okay. Now, just briefly, brothers, before we close, I just want to add to what the Shaykh has said here, a point of benefit from the great book which we recommend again and again and again, Al-Aqidah Al-Wasatiyah by Shaykh Al-Islam Al-Taymiyyah. In the explanation of Al-Aqidah Al-Wasatiyah, Imam Muhammad ibn Salih Al-Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, when he explains Iman, he mentions a point that's related to our discussion tonight in a different way, from a different angle, but yani, it's related to it and it's of great benefit also. He says that, first he mentions that Iman is not just tasdeeq, but rather it is iqraan, i'tiraf. That it's not just believing something, but it is also yani, affirming it and confirming it and confessing and acknowledging it in such a way that requires you to act upon it. But after this he says, أما مجرد أن تؤمن بأن الله موجود, simply believing that Allah is present, فهذا ليس بإيمان. Simply believing that Allah is present, this is not إيمان. حتى يكون هذا الإيمان مستلزما للقبول في الأخبار والإذعان في الأحكام. Until this إيمان that you have is not just believing in the existence of Allah, but it necessitates you accepting the news, the information that Allah has revealed through His prophets and messengers, and that you surrender and comply with the ahkam or the laws that Allah has revealed. وَإِلَّا فَلَيْسَ إِمَانًا. Otherwise, it's not iman. And then he goes on to say, so iman in Allah يَتَضَمَّنُ أَرْبَعَةُ أُمُورٍ. And this is what I referred to earlier, that iman in Allah is composed of four matters. The first of them, iman بِوُجُودِهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. After that then, inshallah. Bismillah wa salatu wa salam wa rasulillah wa ala alihi wa man wala. Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Taymiyyah, he says that iman is composed of four matters. Iman, having iman in the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wal iman bi rububiyyatihi, ay al-infirad bi rububiyyah. Also, is having iman in the rububiyyah, the lordship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning that He is alone in His rububiyyah. There's no other Rabb, no other creator, owner, controller of the things of the, in this universe. Number three, al-iman bi-infiradihi bil-uluhiyyah. Yani having iman in Him being singled out, being alone in uluhiyyah, in ubudiyyah, having the right to worship, every type of worship belongs to Him alone, and no one shares in it anything whatsoever. And number four, al-iman bi asma'i wa sifati, having iman in the names of Allah and His sifat. And then the Shaykh says, and this is what we're going to close with, then the Shaykh says, فَمَنْ لَمْ يُؤْمِنْ بِوُجُودِ اللَّهِ فَلَيْسَ بِمُؤْمِنْ. So whoever doesn't believe in the existence of Allah, then he is not a believer. وَمَنْ آمَنَ بِوُجُودِ اللَّهِ لَا بِإِنْفِرَادِهِ بِالْرُبُوبِيَّةِ فَلَيْسَ بِمُؤْمِنْ. And likewise, whoever believes in the existence of Allah, but he doesn't believe that Allah is alone in His right of rububiyyah, of being the Rabb and the Khaliq, the creator and the owner and the possessor, and controller of everything. Whoever believes in the existence of Allah, but he doesn't believe in Allah being alone in His rububiyyah, فَلَيْسَ بِمُؤْمِنْ. Then he is not a believer. وَمَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَانْفِرَادِهِ بِالرُّبُوبِيَّةِ فَلَيْسَ بِمُؤْمِنْ. So, but, and likewise, whoever believes in Allah, and he believes that Allah is alone in rububiyyah, but he doesn't go any further than that, then he's not a believer. وَمِنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَانْفِرَادِهِ بِالرُّبُوبِيَّةِ وَالْأُلُوهِيَّةِ. And similarly, whoever believes in Allah, and he believes that Allah is alone in His rububiyyah and in His uluhiyyah, His right to worship, لَكِنْ لَمْ يُؤْمِنْ بِأَسْمَاءِ وَصِفَاتِ فَلَيْسَ بِمُؤْمِنْ. But he didn't believe in His names and His sifat, then he is also not a believer. And this the point that I want to come to, that if a person believes in Allah's rububiyyah, he believes in Allah's existence, and he is the only Rabb, and he is the only one that has the right to be worshipped, but he doesn't care about Allah's asma wa sifat, he doesn't know about them. You know how many of the Muslims don't know about asma wa sifat, tawheed asma wa sifat? Or should I say, how many Muslims know about it? Unless they are the people of Sunnah, the overwhelming majority of the Muslim Ummah, they don't know anything about tawheed al-asma wa sifat. That's a fact. And one of the proofs of it is that the scholars who teach the people, who write the books that the people are learning from, they don't know it either. And if you read their books, you will see. If you read what they say about Tawheed, basically they talk about Tawheed al-Rububiyyah. And they talk very little about Tawheed al-Ubudiyyah. And that's why the people are worshipping other than Allah in all of these ways that they're doing it. And they say nothing at all about Tawheed Asma wa Sifat. They say nothing at all about it. So if a person has acknowledged the existence of Allah, and they acknowledge that He's the only Rabb, and He's the only one that deserves to be worshipped, but they didn't fulfill the rights of Allah in Tawheed al-Asma wa Sifat, the Shaykh said, فَلَيْسَ بِمُؤْمِنْ. فَلَيْسَ بِمُؤْمِنْ. But, alhamdulillah, he also ended with one more sentence that helps us a little bit. وَإِنْ كَانَ الْأَخِيرُ فِيهِ مَنْ يُسْلَبُ عَنْهُ الْإِيمَانُ بِالْكُلِّيَّةِ وَفِيهِ مَنْ يُسْلَبُ عَنْهُ كَمَالُ الْإِيمَانِ. That in reference to the last matter, that is the Tawheed and Asma wa Sifat, believing in Allah's names and Sifat, he said, in reference to this matter, there are some who have failed in this area, who Iman is removed from them completely, meaning they are out of Islam. But there are others who only the perfection of Iman is removed from them. And this is a critical point, because it appears, and Allah knows best, that the Shaykh is saying here, that in reference to Tawheed al-Asma wa Sifat, as long as a person acknowledge and confess and acts upon the basics of Tawheed al-Asma wa Sifat, even if they didn't know every detail, because the details of Tawheed al-Asma wa Sifat are meticulous, as long as a person accept and acknowledge and act upon the basics of Tawheed al-Asma wa Sifat, then if they fail and have shortcoming in some area, then what would be removed from them is the perfection of Iman, not the totality of Iman. But there are others though, in reference to Tawheed al-Asma wa Sifat, who al-iman yuslabu minhu anhu al-iman bil kulliya. I mean, they have no iman whatsoever. So this is a dangerous matter. And I say that, alhamdulillah, that the Shaykh mentioned the last point. Because had he not mentioned this, it would be frightening and troubling for every person who didn't devote their life to learning Tawheed al-Asma al-Sifat. Because which one of us can know every aspect of it and understand it thoroughly and apply it completely? So the Shaykh is saying here that the perfection of iman requires that we give attention to this matter. But the person who doesn't care for it at all, then his iman may be removed completely, and they are not even a believer, because they have abandoned this right of Allah, that is to acknowledge Him, to single Him out alone, for the having alone, the only one who has these names, Al-Asma al-Husna wa-Sifat al-Ula, that belong to Allah alone. So this is the end of what we wanted to say, and this is the end of what we wanted to cover in this class. And it's been like almost 5 months. Almost 5 months. So like usually we take 1 week break. Inshallah we start back up 2 weeks from today. Next week we ask everyone to come and bring somebody if you like. It's no problem. You know, it is really a gathering for the class so that we have dinner together and meet each other and get to know each other a little bit better. There won't be any class next week. It will just be any brief, any few minutes to recognize those who have been regular in attendance from the beginning. And whatever we normally do at that time, we're going to have dinner. And we ask everybody to bring something, whether some juice, some healthy wholesome juice, or some nice fruit, or some salads or something, any whatever. What they call that salad, lettuce and tomatoes and stuff like that, macaroni salads, whatever, I don't know, potato salad, whatever you make, you can bring that. But as far as the meat and the chicken and stuff like that, we're going to bring it, inshallah. You don't have to bring that, but bring something else. If somebody wants to contribute towards it, towards the meat, then we want to get it from one source so that it's, you know, come together, there won't be any confusion about it. If somebody wants to contribute towards it, you're welcome. Jazakallah khair. You know, otherwise, just bring something with you. If you don't have anything to bring, it's okay, still come. Everybody is welcome. Jazakallah khair. Subhanakallah wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. If anybody didn't